God, grant me the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present, please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step four, the first part on resentments. Please welcome our panel. We have Tim and Casey. I will read the first paragraph on page 63, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Page 63. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with? Casey?
Hey, my name is Casey. I'm alcoholic and addict.
Hey, Casey.
My sobriety date is April the 15th, 2016. I have a sponsor and I'm still homeless. Sorry, y'all. Need a home group. I'm really thankful to be here. I love so many people in this room that I can only see when I take off these glasses. And I'm thankful for my sobriety and for all of the true gifts that this program has given me. So making a fearless and a searching and fearless more inventory of ourselves. So I've been around, I've done a couple of four steps and fifth steps in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I always like to start with the first one. It was a lot of people really sat on their four step. I couldn't wait to get it all. I had so many secrets, and there was so much collateral damage in my life from the things that I did to get drugs and alcohol that I was just really eager to be rid of that. I now, in hindsight, looking back, I'm like, wow, even my first 4-step was selfish. I just needed to feel better. And that was the key. But I tell you, I love learning about what it means to be spiritually sick. Right. And so I wasn't one of the people that came in and understood right off the bat what it means by, what it means to be spiritually sick, or that drinking is but a symptom. Like, it took me many 4-steps to really understand that alcohol, drinking alcohol, is what I did to soothe all of the other issues that were in between my two ears or in my heart. Right. And so, today when I do a 4-step, it looks the exact same. Like, it's all stemming from spiritual sickness. And also it is full of resentment. Every single time, it's full of resentment. And I'm thankful. I don't know how people who do not have a problem with alcohol live, because I have a way in which I can wholesomely take stock about the way that I'm behaving and not browbeat myself, not have to feel bad about it. Like, I have a place to put it and very easily in black and white come up with a solution. And like move forward from that solution and I don't know how people reconcile like the things that they don't like about themselves if they don't have a 12-step program to help them do that. I think I'm going to stop there.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, hi, I'm Tim. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
My sobriety date's 1/18/23. I've had multiple sobriety dates. I got a sponsor. This is my home group. You know, resentments, going to the 4-step, you know, 1, 2, and 3, for me were, about finding God or finding a higher power. And then I was told, you know, 4 through 11 was, really digging deep and finding about myself. And, it's hard. I didn't know coming in this program, I didn't know anything about anything. And the 4-step, there's different ways. People hand you a piece of paper and say, fill this out. They draw on a tablet and say, fill this out. But I really never really understood till I sat down with a sponsor. So I think it's so important to have a sponsor to show me how to do this. The book is great. I mean, the book shows us the basics, but there's a lot more to it. And people that have been through this and been through the 4-step can show me how to do this thing. And that's what I need. I don't need, the spiritual part of the program, I've always thought I was a pretty good person. When my first sponsor asked me about resentments, and I told him, I said, I really don't have any resentments. And then we got talking, and I had them. I mean, I'll give you an example. I told him I had resentments at my mother-in-law the way she chewed her food. And he said, that's a resentment, you know, put it down. And then it grew. Then the list grew and grew and grew. And for me, you know, inventory, putting it on paper, now I'm taking a look at myself. And like I said, I'm more self-righteous. I'm going to blame anybody, everything on anybody else, but I'm not going to blame it on myself. You know, you did something to me. It's your fault. It's not my fault. Until I started doing this, this inventory, I didn't understand resentments and the fact finding or taking a look at myself. I get to see the good. You know, it's not necessarily bad because it is scary. I mean, I'm sitting down and putting everything on paper about my life. It's not all bad. There's some good and there's some bad and there's some ugly. And, you know, what I've got to find out is what I'm going to keep and what I'm going to get rid of. And that spiritual part is where it says in here, the spiritual malady. The spiritual maladies overcome, we straighten out spiritually anyway. I got to get this stuff out of my way so that I can connect with my higher power. I'm doing things, you know, it says moral, you know, moral for me, my view of moral is good and bad. I know instinct. I was raised in a good family. I was raised in a middle-class family. I know the difference between right and wrong. So my morals now, I have to look, where did I go astray? What are my morals? Are they good or bad? What did I do good? What did I do bad? You know, the good stuff, probably keep it. The bad stuff, I got to get rid of it. But I can't get rid of it if I can't see it. And it takes, for me, it takes a sponsor to point that stuff out to me. to show me where I've been bad, or, you know, where I'm trying to be self-righteous and say, hey, 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 it wasn't my fault. Well, then I take a look at it. And, you know, the sickness, when we get in here, when we talk about pocketbooks and ambitions and all that, we're burned up. I always put on a mask for everybody. I'm in a business. I own a golf course, so I'm a golf pro. So, I've always been the guy that put the mask on. I showed everybody what you wanted. I wanted you to see. I didn't want you to see. Everything's good always. Even to this day, if you ask me, there was a sign over my office that says it's all good, because that's what I used to say all the time. It's all good. It might be terrible, but, you know, that's how I projected myself. Well, also never liked confrontation either, because I was one of those people, I didn't like people to dislike me. So I didn't really dislike people until something happened, whether I screwed up or they did something. And then, and when that happens, then I would shut the door and then I'm burned up. And then I had no way to deal with it. Life for me took a terrible toll, and I'll get into it a little bit deeper as we get into, a little bit more, but I will, like I said, I'm searching out flaws in me. It's scary, but I jumped it like she was just saying, I jumped right into it. My life got so bad that I jumped into it. Initially on in the program, I didn't get a sponsor. And I stayed in this program from 2009. My first meeting was actually December 29th, 2008. And I didn't get a sponsor until 2013. And once I got a sponsor, I stayed sober for 7 years, and then I bounced from sponsor to sponsor and sponsor and sponsor for, you know, the remaining from there to 2000, this past year, had a little time under my belt, but, this for me is the meat and potatoes of it. And, it stops everything from blocking me from my higher power or my spirituality from seeing what good happens. And, I'll stop right there.
Thanks. All right. Good job. We're going to move over to page 65. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. Continuing on page 66, it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. Casey.
So we went back through our lives, nothing but thoroughness and honesty counted. And like, so when in the book, they're talking about you doing it for the first time, and I'm also, you know, just going to go back. And I went all the way back through my life when I did my first four step. And I also go back through my whole life, every four step that I do thereafter. It is, I'm having such a hard time with my eyesight. I'm sorry, you guys. I love the four step because there were lots of things that I did that needed to be on a four step, but there were also things that happened to me in my life that I had no control over and just shouldn't happen to people. And, there's outside places for outside issues, but these, I had resentments, big ones, and they were on the list. And the fourth column had a question mark, right? On those topics that, like, I don't see where I'm at fault. And I can tell you at the end of my fourth step, Like my sponsor said, there's not a place there where you're responsible. The only thing that you're responsible for now is, are you going to continue to carry the anger that you have towards that, you know, towards that person, towards that individual, towards that instance. And I had never looked at it that way, because when I wrote it, you know, there's like pages of all the trash that I did. And then there's like two or three lines of stuff that happened to me. And I'm like, oh, I'm right there. I don't have anything wrong. But I was incredibly wrong, because as it talks about a life, it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. And so even the wrongs that were done to me are going to kill me. They're going like, because to drink is to die. If I don't get it out, I'm going to drink. And for me to drink is to actually die. And I'm just incredibly thankful that I had the leadership from a sponsor, because it's incredibly important to do your 4-step through the leadership of a sponsor, and the willingness to just be completely honest about all of it. Even though, even during my 4-step, my motive was just to be cocky and right. Like, well, you know, what's she going to find with this, you know? And and yet what was found was a way that I could behave better, you know? But I truly believe, like, it was the most, when I was done with my first 5th step, I felt like a fish out of water. I'd never been so incredibly honest. But what was really most profound to me were the instances in which I wasn't wrong. That was the most profound part to me, because I realized for the first time in my life, from that point forward, I had a choice of how I was going to choose to allow that to control me, right? And I shouldn't say necessarily a choice. I had an option in which I could work towards moving forward from that in a different way, where for me, the only way to move forward was cuss words and drinking, right? And I had mastered it. It was one of the biggest reasons why I didn't want to quit drinking. I'm not here because I didn't like it. I'm not here because it didn't feel good. It felt great, particularly when it didn't feel at all. It was the whole point behind it right there. So for me to quit drinking, if I was really going to be honest with myself, it was all of the 4th column where I didn't have a say. That was really what I was running from the whole time. You know, well, some of what I was running from the whole time. We are our own worst enemies, are we not? So I am, and what I have found for me moving forward, because there was a whole lot of collateral damage. There was so much collateral damage and like big dramatic childhood stuff there that you couldn't really get down to the meats and potatoes of all the insidious ways that my character defects play out in my life. It was like several 4 steps down the road. But the same thing keeps coming to the table every time, which is fear and resentment and my character defects and the way that they're playing out of my life through alcoholism. And I thought that if I quit drinking and I did the 12 steps, that everything was going to be great. And everything is great as long as I keep doing the 12 steps. And my favorite thing to do is do the 12 steps, get my life back, feel great, and drink again. So. For me, you know, moving forward, like I realize, and I'm so excited that I get the opportunity to continue to have spiritual growth. And it's very obvious in my life when it's time for me to do a 4-step, because I'm mad at everyone. So it's very good. And my tolerance for being that angry and having that much dysfunction and chaos in my life is a very small threshold. Now, so where it used to be like this daunting thing that I didn't want to tell anybody and I didn't want to talk about, I'm like knocking on my sponsor's door, like, can we do this? Is it time? You know? And that is, I'm just really thankful for it. It's not something that I don't, it was just something that was so, I was so scared to do in the beginning, for a lot of reasons, for being vulnerable and telling like the real truth. I was afraid of that. I really never imagined that several years down the road, it's like, I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be able to have that much guided. Cause you know, what is it they say about self-reflection in the big book? You know, it's a solitary self-conflict.
Solitary self-appraisal.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I don't like, yes, it's insufficient, right? Solitary self-appraisal is insufficient. So I'm incredibly thankful that I get to get input from somebody who has experienced strength and hope that came before me. Thanks.
Thanks. I'm Tim again. You know, again, going back to resentments, like I said, I didn't know know really what they were. Somebody also said, you know, resentments, you break it down, resent, you know, that stuff that plays in my head over and over and over. And I really don't, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, if I can't sleep, and I think for an alcoholic, the worst thing in the world, you can't sleep. Alcoholics, I always would want to drink myself to sleep. But if I can't think, I can't quiet this thing down. And it's normally, it's a resentment of some sort. I just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, but I got to have a way to get rid of this thing. And this whole process helps me with that. And I'll break it down a little bit more. I brought something, and normally I guess nobody would do this, but I'll tell you one of my resentments, and that what I would tell a sponsor, which some of the guys in here know my position right now. So I always do things and I write it down and I ask myself, who do I resent? I'm just going to give you an example. So my partner, why do I resent him? So he relieved me of my position, took away my day-to-day job. I resent him because I thought I made our company a lot of money and we were the best. He didn't recognize the amount of time I was spending getting this place successful, and he's an alcoholic. So I resented him for that. What did it do to me? Now, this is how I would do my four step. Self-esteem. The community thinks I'm a drunk now, incapable. My wife thinks I'm a failure. Pride. Does he think someone else can do a better job than me? You know, he embarrassed me. Finances. Now I got no income. Got to figure something else out. Got to spend all my money I have invested. I can't provide for the family. Emotional security. I get anxiety, fear, loss, feeling the failure. Biggest fear of mine. That is the biggest fear of mine. What happened? I had a sponsor, and he knows. He said, you got to lose everything for you before you're going to get this thing. And I hate to say it, but that's what happened. Ambitions. I'm branded. Some people in here, you got a job. I'm branded. Everybody in town knows me. 30,000 golfers in Tyler, they all know me. So I can't just go get a job, right? Personal relations, I'm pissed at the employees that turn me in. Now, here's my part of it. I drank on the job. I was hungover all the time. I missed a huge number of days being at rehabs and hospitals and detox wards. I was functioning about 50%. I couldn't talk to customers. I couldn't talk to members because I was drunk probably half the time or hungover. I embarrassed the company, embarrassed the business we established. I drank up the profits, taking alcohol from the restaurant. I forgot I could be removed as I was the only partner that was working. The other partners were silent partners. Now, here's the other part, expectations. I thought I should get unlimited chances. I thought they would understood because he's an alcoholic. I wanted a break because I'm a good guy and I'm a hard worker. I acted like the perfect AA to him because he knew I was in rehabs and all this. So I would always tell him, he said, how's it going? Yo, I'm going to meetings. No, I won't go to meetings. I stopped going to meetings. I stopped doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I also thought because I was a partner, I needed special attention. You know, I'd have fired myself. I would have fired myself if I was, you know, that's what I would have done. And I always thought the job would be there as long as I wanted it to be. And so when I took a look at this, if I took the first side of this and looked at it, yes, I got resentments. But when I looked at the other side, my part in it is unbelievable. So how can I have a resentment at somebody when I did all this other shit? So that's just one. And that's one, just one item on a list like that I look at. So this thing really shows me how my behavior, my morals, how everything, how it got from alcohol. You know, alcohol, how would I put it? Alcohol is not immoral. The drinking is not immoral. It makes me immoral. The drinking does that to me. It makes me bad. You know, all this other stuff causes me to drink. And, I've heard this also, you know, resentments, you know, if I got a resentment at somebody, it's like me drinking poison and wanting you to die. You know, I got these resentments. I got to look at my part in this thing. And that's what this whole process is done. So that's all I got.
We're continuing on page 66. We turned back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done." We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one.
So my prayer was more like, God, if you want me to help that sick, I guess I will. Right. It wasn't a, but I'm mad. More like that. But I, so my mom and my grandmother moved in with me, and I have issues with my mom. I don't know if anybody else in here might have issue with their mother, but I certainly have a few with mine. And I've learned a lot from this experience in a four generation household. But evidently you're not the same person in your 70s as you were in your 40s. So like the mom I'm mad about at is not the mom I live with. My mom, dealing with my mom, God save me from being angry. How can I be helpful to him? This is a sick individual. Like that's the first real time that this prayer really carried me through and in my day-to-day interactions with her. And I truly believe had I not started my inventory 8 years before she moved in, she would have never have moved in with me. There was a lot of work that came and prior to her coming in. And, it's so cliche and it's so real. And I'm going to say it so tackily, but healing is like peeling an onion, like you peel off a layer and then you peel off another layer and you peel off another layer. So it's like years of like instances that come up that we get to heal from through through our four-step work. I love God save me from being hangry. And this is a sick man, because I have a really hard time seeing where someone else is sick, I'm a victim. I'm the biggest victim ever. It's really, when I see it on paper, it's appalling. I'm glad that I get to put it on paper, because I'm incredibly whiny, evidently. So I'm able to see, see my mom, as like the, broken little bird that she is. She's only doing the best that she could possibly be. That she could do. And she was only doing the best that she could do then as well. And while though it's severely lacking, it just is what it is. What it is, and I'm thankful that God saves me from being angry, because I'm able to be a daughter in the house living with her. And I wasn't like I don't know if anybody knows Lynn Peters, but I called her and was like, I just cussed my mom out, and she was like, what step is that? 14. Just so y'all know, since 13's already been taken. I'm thankful for for being able to have the opportunity to do four steps to see. It's easy to see when people are sick from drugs and alcohol. When they're sick from other things, it's just different. And particularly when there's someone that you have expectations for them to be a particular way with you, whether the expectations be innocent or not, it's incredibly difficult. And also when that person has harmed you, I love it. In that state, the wrongdoings of others, fancied or real, had the power to kill. And I love that because my resentments don't have to make sense. You know, nobody said, write down all of the things that make good sense that you're mad about. You know, because I was mad about a lot of things that didn't make any good sense, you know, and most of them, none of them made sense. When I got to the fourth column, you're like, oh, yeah, I should have totally been fired, you know, but you're like, yeah, I would have fired me. Right. It's usually the bottom line. So I think I'll pass with that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. All right, I'm Tim again. Again, I turn back to the list, take a look at myself. The world, you know, and the people around me dominated me somewhat. I could be self, and I always looked at that self-righteous. So if you, if I blamed you, then I could justify being self-righteous. So I could justify drinking. You know, if you did something to hurt me, I just say, okay, that's fine. I'll just drink. You know, from all it came home, my wife is bitching and blaming this, blaming that or whatever. I just, okay, fine. I'll just go drink, you know, and I'll get back at you. That's not that never worked. I mean, I pray every morning. And again, I pray every night, and I say this, and I've said this in meetings recently, that God's always been there for me, my higher power. And I prayed in the morning, I prayed at night for years, but I think he wanted me to pray a little bit more during the day. So he took my work away a little bit so I could talk to him during the day. But the morning prayer, I was told, you know, God save me from myself, from me, not from you, from me, because I'm my own worst enemy. I'm destruction. You're looking at destruction. If you saw me on a normal day, I'm going to tell you everything's great, but I'm destroying everything in my path, me and everything. And I have to, the sick friend for me, it's never been, I've always felt in business, and maybe I was too easy or too lenient or whatever, people have a right to have a bad day. So when you cross that line, though, then the resentments start. But people have a right to have a bad day. So people are not going to have a good day every day. So I've managed to be successful in business. I say business because at home, I don't treat it that way. And that's the alcoholic in me. But I guess because I'm trying to put on that show again, you know, if it's a whatever it is, you're having a bad day. If it's a constant deal, then yes, I have to have God show me how to handle this. I can't do it every minute of every day. I need God or my higher power. I need somebody else other than me getting in the way. When I get in my own way. You know, I got two boys and I told them both, I said, you know, stop getting in your own way. You know, your thoughts, you're just not making good decisions. So stop getting your own way. You know, I'm sick. They're sick. We got two sick people here. So maybe I can be the better person because of this program. You know, I can go through this. I don't have to have these confrontations or stuff like that. Family life, really, other than my house now, not much. My parents were older. My mother died when I was young, you know, all that. So, you know, I've never been close with anybody in my family. So I hadn't had that many resentments. And like I said, everything else, is more at work and that's all I've ever done really is work. For me, the spiritual sickness, is probably, I don't even know. When I finished my first four step with my sponsor, we went through it and told him we went through everything. And, you know, and when they say you're a lying, cheating thief, which, you know, I get that, but the resentments, I didn't think I was that person. I really didn't think I was that person. And I am that person. I'm an alcoholic. I mean, that's all I can say. Tolerance. I'll tolerate something, but now I have to, maybe I got to stop and pause or pray and ask for tolerance in certain situations. You know, do I, some of these, it doesn't matter whether I'm in line at a supermarket or whatever, I'll get a resentment that quick, just that quick. And whether it be patience, is God, you know, putting me in a position to test my patience? So I don't have resentments. Maybe he is. Like I said, I always get up and say, God, save me from myself. And that was a sponsor that told me that. And I do say that every day. And then thy will be done, not mine. My will again is conniving, manipulating, cheating, stealing, you name it. That's what this program's shown me. So I try not to do that. And I guess I will leave it there.
All right. We're going to pick up on page 67. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight.
So I'm going to, something that struck me while I was listening to him speak, I'm just going to go up to the paragraph before and tell you guys a quick story. So it says, we avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way if we just we destroy our chances of being helpful. So I work in the construction industry. That's not a very ladylike industry. And I didn't act very ladylike in that industry. And I spent like 2 hours one day. Are there any engineers in the room in the room with an engineer? Well, they walk to the beat of a different drummer. Odd little ducklings they are. I love you, Jada. Sorry. So I had this, like, I just could not get this engineer to understand my problem. And it wasn't a very difficult problem in my mind. I described it 8 ways to Sunday. And finally, I'm like, I was so irritated. I really needed an engineer to help me because it was wrong. And I was trying to get my RFI through, so on and so forth. And I was like, you know what? Just like, thank you for your time. I feel like we're done, you know. I was in early sobriety, very early sobriety. I was probably still riding my fourth step. And I went to go walk out of the room and I wanted to tell him how useful he had been. But instead, I just looked at him and rolled my eyes and left. And you fast forward 8 years later, he called me and was like, hey, Casey, I think you'd be really good at this job and you should apply for it. And I got that job and I'm still in that job today. And when I hung the phone up with him that day and the day that I got the job, I was like, I'm so glad I didn't cuss him out that day. Not only did I not cuss him out, but he, you know, he thinks we're friends, you know, like he's done it so wrong, you know? So that guy walks in my office and shuts my door today and goes, I have a problem and I can't stop drinking. Oh, boom. Right. So I have to say, like, the reason why I did not cuss him out that day, I can't tell you why I didn't do that. It was absolutely like my higher power, and that I read in the mornings. You know, upon awakening, you know, and it tells you all of the things when we pause. And what I did at that door was pause. And it was not a pause that was of my own. And I don't pause all the time. There's been many, many times that I probably should continue to pause and I don't pause. But this particular time I did. And I'm so thankful on so many levels, you know, and I invited him to come to this meeting tonight and he's not here and that's okay. But wow. So not only should I avoid retaliation, but we might destroy our chances of being helpful. And we have no idea how and when we're going to end up being helpful to someone. And today I can actually say he is my friend. Right. And I'm thankful for him and the role that he plays in my life. So we're going back to our list again. And I love that list that they talk about in the beginning, because I scooted over that. That was like a care for me. My sponsor had me write a character defects list, and I didn't understand how that played into my four step. It was just the first activity she gave me, and I only had two, so it was short. And but I had to Google them, you know, and then I have a lot more. So, you know, I looked at that list and of my character defects, and it says putting out of the wrongs other had done, we absolutely look for our own mistakes. And where had I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? And like, I'm so excited to have been taught that I am selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. We tried to really disregard the other person's involvement entirely. And where were we to blame? It's so incredibly freeing. I lived in such a prison like my whole life until I was able to like thoroughly and honestly just tell the truth, just tell the whole truth. And I lived for the first time ever. I left my first four step without a secret. I had no secrets at all. And I will tell you now, don't tell me a secret, because I'm the worst secret keeper ever now. I'm not good at it. I don't know how I got away with it for so long. I had so many lies. I kept them all straight. I can't keep a lie. I will blurt it out and then immediately realize I wasn't supposed to tell you that. So I ruined Christmas this year for my aunt and my cousin. Sorry, y'all. And they're not going to include me next time in that, because I can't keep a secret. And I'm incredibly proud of that today. Anybody want to be my sponsee? No. I'm just joking. Terrible joke. Terrible joke. So we listed our faults. We placed them in force in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly. And I absolutely love that sometimes I could not find how I was wrong. And I had the question mark, because it wasn't a question mark can't catch me here, but it was literally question mark. I just could not see how I could possibly be responsible in this situation. And through years of four steps, I'm better at that today. And I'm thankful, because sometimes I can take care of it in a 10th step. It doesn't have to grow and end up on my four step four times before I'm able to sort it out. So my favorite part is we admitted our wrongs honestly, and we were willing to set matters right. And for me, it was like feeling like a fish out of water because I didn't have any secrets. I felt a little depleted because I didn't have any secrets. I told like all of the stuff. But the willingness to make that right was the ticket for me, because not only did I see a way, and I'm so thankful for the sponsor that I have. I got the exact right sponsor that I needed, because I was very crafty and I stole from a lot of people. And I stole from a lot of people that didn't know I stole from them. And she was incredibly creative in making sure that the next 15 years of my life, I was paying retribution to make sure that I paid back what I was supposed to pay back to society in one way or other. And it was so wonderful, because I didn't have to do it immediately right now. But, you know, but each year at Christmas, you will, you know, and I know that there's suggestions, but my sponsor wasn't giving me suggestions. She was absolutely telling me this is the plan, right? And I was so eager to make it right, because there were some things that I could never truly make right to the individuals that they needed to be made right. But I can hold my head up today because I paid my retribution. I did. I did everything I could possibly do to make it right. If I could go back in time, would I do it again? Probably not. Maybe though, because I'm kind of bad at things like that. But I don't shy away from the things that I have done and the ways in which I stole from people, not just in monetary ways as well. You know, like I affected people on, you know, my parents and people, anyone that loved me. I made them probably near committed worthy. So I had a lot of ways in which my sponsor was able to help me figure out how to make those situations right. And it's been far reaching. You know, I have a daughter. She's 27 years old. She's wanted absolutely nothing to do with a ninth step from me her entire life. And this Christmas, I realized that I'm so thankful for that. If you go back to the beginning where I said even my first four step was selfish, I wanted to make that amend so bad because I needed to feel better. And I got to a point to where I didn't feel like I needed to feel better, to make that amends to feel better. And like, time heals all wounds. It really does help. But I was not in a place to be able to truly validate the experience she had. And I realized that I saw her over Christmas for the first time. And I'm so thankful that I've been able to make the living amends to her that I've been able to make by taking care of myself and getting my career together and being a better example of a mother. But I'm really excited that I didn't have the opportunity to set that straight with her because I was nowhere near being able to really listen to her side of the story. And I didn't know that about myself. And I need help with that because I don't know how to validate my 14-year-old, you know, my 27-year-old from what happened to her when she was 14. And I'm such a jerk because I immediately remembered the phrase that I said to her one time, like, God, Mariah, it was bad enough. You don't have to exaggerate. No wonder she didn't want to hear my ninth step. So I'm thankful. I'm really thankful that my daughter has continued to come up on all of my four steps in one way, shape, or another. And it's been the peeling of the onion for me to realize the way in which that like God wants me to show up for her in her life, because it's way bigger. My God, it's way bigger than any like measly attempt that I could make in interacting with her. So I'm thankful to be here and thankful to be sober.
Thanks. All right. As this says, referring to our list again. I mean, the hardest thing for me was putting together a list. You know, you put it off and put it off. So it was started to put some names down. You just start putting them down. So I started my list. And that list, you know, as we were just talking, it goes over to your ninth step. You know, your eighth step, you take these names, put them on your eighth step, and you go make amends for them. We're willing to set these matters straight. I've got to, again, as I just talked about what I showed you, an example of my four step where I can look at my own mistakes. Before I came to the rooms, I never would have looked at that other side. I would have just looked at this side and I said, it was your fault. You did this to me. Boom, boom, boom. And that was it. But now learning how to do the four step, I know the other side of the coin. So now when it says, look for my own mistakes, I see where, like it says, I've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, all this. You know, my life, I've always wanted what I wanted, when I want it, and I'm going to get it. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing when you're chasing something that's good, you know, whether it's a career or something. But when I step on everybody in the meantime, when I'm running over top of people or crushing people or doing it dishonestly or this, that, and the other, that's when all the stuff happens. And that's when I piss people off and that's when the resentments happen because they're treating me a certain way. You know, the inventory, I would do other people's inventory. But never really looked at myself. I always thought of myself as this good guy that did this and did this. But when I really sat down with sponsors, not one, but multiple sponsors, it all comes out. The same thing comes out. And going to the ninth step, making amends. This is one of the hardest things. This is a good reason, to listen to this for me, is you make amends. And you go back out, how do you think the next one's going to be? How tough is that one going to be? When you apologize, and, you know, apologies in these rooms, saying I'm sorry, anywhere for anything. You go to somebody and say, what can I do to make it right? And you go back out, and you go through this program again. It gets harder and harder and harder. And this process of making amends starts to, same thing. People don't believe in you. So, you know, again, if you're thinking about going back out, I mean, I've been back out a few times and, you know, I made my first amends using the fourth step and looking at my mistakes and this, that, and the other, and I faded away from this program and stopped. And I became the whole thing. I became selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, the whole nine yards. Well, then I come back in the program and I get back in. I start doing a fourth step. I start getting my life right. Everything falls in place. I go back out. All those amends I made, what are people thinking now? That's terrible. That's now it's going to be tough. Now the tough part. I can't, you know, I've been through it a couple of times, so I can't put any blame but on myself because I've lived it a couple of times, you know. It's mine. It's my faults, it's my inventory, it's my look at my life. When I look in the mirror, the one thing I can do once I do this, I can honestly tell somebody that I was a piece of shit, but I'm not today. I don't have, I can tell them that. Yeah. If I went up to somebody that I'd made amends and said, "Hey, how you doing? Man, get in the way. If you're a piece of shit." Yes. I don't have to have a fight with them. Yes. But I'm not today. And then I can move on. So, you know, my faults again, for me, it's hard. It's heartbreaking. It's the hardest and right now, look, I'm be honest with you. I'm really getting ready to do the 8-step and then going to the 9th step. And it's going to be brutal. And when I say brutal, in my mind, it's going to be brutal, but it's going to be free and it's going to free me. But I don't know what to expect anymore. Like I said, when you go back out, if you've been in this program, if you've gone through the steps and then you go back, you know, you got to remember, I made amends. Well, I'm going back to make amends again. You know, how trustworthy is it? I guess that's why we say this is an anonymous program, because you didn't want me to show this thing in public because I went back out. But again, I learn more every time I do this. Every time I do a 4-step, it gets bigger and longer, and I learn more. I learn how to do it. And the biggest thing for me is how to do it. I think that's the scariest part for anybody. How do I do this thing? You know, yeah, take a look at myself. That's brutal. Take a look at myself. But how do we do this? And you have to have a sponsor. You have to have somebody show you to do it the right way. It's not just boom here. Just do it this. Here's a piece of paper. Write some shit down and do it. No, somebody's got to show you how to do this and get a good, hard look at yourself. And then they can help you to look at your flaws and your character defects. So it makes me a better person, makes me a morally better person, so that whatever life I've got left, I can live it the way I'm supposed to live it in my mind. You know, I never wanted to be a thief, a liar, a cheat. And I never wanted to be all that, but that's what I became. But now I have a chance to fix that and live there. I might live till tomorrow, but I'm not cheating and lying today, I hope. But the rest of my life, I get to do this. So this program, step 4 for me, is the meat and potatoes. This starts off the action. And then we said it in the beginning. It's action, action, action. And don't be scared of it. Jump right in it. Jump right into step 4, just like we were both talking about. I jumped in because I was so desperate. You know, I jumped back in again because I was so desperate. I just want it. So that's it. All right. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. We're going to pass the basket in accordance with the 7th tradition. The 7th tradition states, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the 7th tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. I forgot at the beginning to ask if there were newcomers. Is there anybody here in their first 30 days of sobriety that would like to introduce themselves so we can get to know you? Yes.
Hey, Matthew, welcome.
Hi, Matthew, welcome.
Welcome.
Anybody else?
Hi,
hey, Thomas.
Welcome. Okay. Are there any AA-related announcements? Yes.
Hey, Jill.
Thanks.
Buster. Yeah, good.
Anybody else? Yes, Steve.
My name is Steve Roach. I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Steve.
The man sitting behind me, commonly known as Miracle Mike. Celebrating your continuous sobriety. We did that in the group last Friday this month, and the Aaron from Smith was going to be our speaker. Also, next Monday night, Roger from Roger W. from the Happy Destiny Group is going to be celebrating 9 years of continuous sobriety. David here is going to be his speaker.
I should have more of that drinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Literature is available on the table next to the door. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to purchase a big book. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. If you're a little bit shy, you can send us an email at info@simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Cafe Stella. In closing, can we please thank Tim and Casey again? I don't know who's volunteered to read from A Vision for You. Mike.
Hey, Mike.
All right, we have a nice way of closing.
Hey, how are you? I'm good. I saw there's a...
Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name,
thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us
not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.